The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening, folks. Welcome in November 2nd, 2014. You're live with Sweeney and the Waz on a Sunday night. NFL football. NFL football, Johnny boy. We don't live in Boston. About a month ago, everybody was telling me how Tom Brady lost his touch. That he was on the downside of his career. A month later, what's he throwing, Johnny? 18 touchdown passes in a month? And the Pats have reclaimed their yearly statement of we're taking first place in the division. And the other three teams really don't mean too much. As I watched it snow while making my coffee this morning, I had ESPN on, and I see the snow in Sao Paulo, Antonio, and I'm like, what is that? And I'm like, it's snowing. Looks like Peyton Manning's going to lose today. Not that he hasn't done okay in the snow in Denver, at least a handful of times possibly, but Tom Brady at home where he wins, what does he win? 85% of the time at home? What was the chances of him losing that game? It's Tom Brady. And he is a shining star. You can hear that faintly in the background. We'll have to turn that music up a little bit, probably for Tom Brady, because I'll tell you what, 4 touchdown passes today, 33 out of 53 for 333 yards? Johnny, what did we do as Jet fans to deserve the punishment that we have been subjected to over the last 3-plus years? Tell me.
It's not good. It's not good. I'll tell you what. Brady is insane. He's got 22 touchdowns and 1 pick for the month of October, including this week. He's insane. And they don't lose at home. What is he like?
I think in his career he's won 85% of his home games. Come on, mathematicians out there.
That means
he's won 8.5 out of every 10 home games. I can't believe this.
This was supposed to be like...
Can't even get a home win.
This is like the big... This was supposed to be like everyone's saying the big championship. This will be the championship game. The winner goes to the Super Bowl. These two teams...
We know who's going then.
Yeah. Well, if it's in New England, we know who's going. Peyton Manning historically can't win up there. His problems.
I understand. Brady's been the more clutch performer by far in the playoffs.
But what is?
But it? I'm talking about. I'm just focusing on our lives as football fans, the teams. I refuse to wear a Jet jersey. We're doing a show tonight, just to clue you in as to what's going to go on. We got a 2-hour extravaganza for you. The first hour, we're going to focus on football. More importantly, we're going to go back in time, or even presently, and we're going to focus on the top 10 football players, regardless of position, since the NFL merger in 1970. So, I mean, putting guys on an offensive and defensive list, not too difficult, but to pick 10 guys only, well, that's going to be tough if you hear us roll off the name. So if you want to call up the number 631-888-8811, you can call and partake in this debate in our selection of the top 10 football players since the merger in the NFL. The only thing I can assure you is there are no New York Jets on that team.
None.
Not one. Nobody made my 20 to debate. None of them. Not even somebody who played for the Jets.
And no Giants have made my list as well.
That's a lie.
Not a mine.
You're lying.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
I am lying.
I am lying. Don't make a fool of yourself.
The biggest
when
one.
You got arguably the greatest player.
Of all time.
You happen to play for the Giants.
Right.
And I don't have to tell Giant fans his name.
I was a little tease.
This was our LT.
It was a little tease right there, ladies and gentlemen.
What a joke. You know, and let me just be honest about everything. And we can turn the music down for a little bit right now, Brian, until we get to this this debating topic with the top players of all time. But let's just go back in our immediate present with the Jets. When the Jets threw Pennington to the side, just for my own sanity, when they threw Pennington to the side and they brought in Brett Favre in 2008, I really, you know, at that point, you know, from a loyalty aspect I had with Chad Pennington, one of my favorite quarterbacks, team history, for whatever that team history is worth. I was very aggravated with my team. And you can remember because we went to a bunch. That was the last time I went to a Jet game was in 2008. I haven't even been to a Jet game since Rex Tocco.
I went last year.
You know full well I told you. because the Jets got off to an 8-3 start. And I told you, I said, listen, if the Jets win a Super Bowl with Brett Favre, I will buy his jersey and I will wear it every day for the rest of my life, for at least whatever it is, 5, 10 minutes, right. Half a day, whatever it is. Okay? Not because I was so calm. I just knew that it wasn't going to happen. But they had a great start, and I was willing to sacrifice that. For the love I have for the New York Rangers in hockey and the New York Jets in football, I was willing to sacrifice that part of my life for the rest of my existence if the Jets could just win me a Super Bowl. Now, they went from 8-3 to 9-7. They missed the playoffs. Brett Favre was supposedly hurt at the end of the year. I find that comical. And it was the only time he was ever involved in a playoff race where he had a chance to make the playoffs and didn't make the playoffs,
yes.
Which I found insulting and repulsive in terms of his existence as an NFL quarterback.
Well, it's a little selfish of Brett Favre to not come out when he knew he had that shoulder.
I don't really care. That's not the point
of
the discussion.
He wanted to keep his record alive and keep his record going for games played.
That's not even part of this yet. We could talk about that another time. Anyway, the Jets collapse. They go 9-7. Man, Jackass gets fired. All right? Mangini gets fired, and I really believed at the time that Tannenbaum should have been fired also at the same time. And he wasn't. They kept Tannenbaum. So be it. And at that point, I didn't even care, John, who they brought in as the coach. I could have cared less. I was still working midnights. I was working on the desk with a buddy of mine, Rob. And the Jets hire Rex Ryan. And initially, the only thing I liked about it was that it was Buddy Ryan's kid. And Buddy Ryan was one of the greatest coaches I ever witnessed in action, obviously from a defensive standpoint. He didn't have a tremendous amount of success as a head coach, per se. But to defend him, he was a head coach. He was a co-head coach with the Chicago Bears.
Right.
And if anybody wants to dispute me on that, well, then they'd be lying because that defense and all 25, 26, 27 guys on that personnel side of the ball, they all looked to Buddy Ryan as their head coach. So much so that when they won the 85 Super Bowl, they carried him off the field, just like the offense carried Mike Ditka off the field. All right, so I like the fact that they hired his son. I remember I came home after midnight, and it was the morning of his initial press conference, Rex Ryan. And I'm in there. I come home, and I really could care less about the Jets. I'm like, you know what, let me just sit down and see what this guy has to say. So I do. I come home. Before I go to bed, I'm like, let me sit down and see what he has to say. And he had me on the edge of my seat as he kept speaking. He seemed sincere, genuine. He seemed different. He wasn't giving you the same old run-of-the-mill lines that all these coaches give you. Had good energy. You know that whole, I'm going to win a Super Bowl within 4 years.
Very likable guy.
All right? I was on board. Let's see what this guy can do. Makes some moves. Camps outside Bart Scott's house. They bring in this guy. They want to move up in the draft. They draft the quarterback, so be it. Whatever you want to do. They didn't want to draft defense. Me and you wanted defense that year. They moved up. They drafted a quarterback. Fine. We're on board. They go through the season. Right away, top-level defense. I believe the first year they were number one in the league. Legitimately number one in the league defensively. Not these fluff stats that people have thrown at me the last few years. You know, like, they didn't give up. They didn't have good stats in yardage and give up 20-some-odd points a game. Like, they had good stats defensively, and they gave up maybe 15 points a game.
Right.
That's how good their defense was the first year. We watched the first year. We're not going through the whole season. We watched the first year. They go to the title game, right? They go on a playoff run, knock off the Bengals, the Chargers. They got the Colts 17-13 at the half. They lose the championship game. No shame in that. What are you going to do? Year one. Second year, 11-5. One of the best regular seasons in Jet history in terms of records. Right? What's the best they've ever done? 12-4?
Right.
11-5. Big-time regular season. Big-time December win, which they're not accustomed to. Big-time December win on the road in Pittsburgh that year. Right?
Right.
Another big playoff run. Sanchez has a game-winning drive, comes back, knocks off Peyton Manning on the road. They go up to Foxborough, where Tom Brady never loses. He knocks off another Hall of Famer in the future, Tom Brady. And if his defense wasn't so abysmal against the run in the first half, against the Steelers, he would have knocked off Big Ben also.
Yeah.
And then what would have people have thought of him? And imagine him beating Rodgers possibly in the Super Bowl. Who's to say that wouldn't happen? The
Could
Jets only lost 9-0 in the regular season to them, right?
Course, yeah.
All right. Back-to-back playoff appearances, back-to-back title game appearances, top five defense both years, and you figure Rex Ryan's going to give you an even better defense going forward, an even better team.
progressively worse.
Not progressively worse initially, though. Now, I understand that, you know, the problem with Sanchez was he didn't make great regular season progress year after year, but he was as good as any I've seen in the playoffs. I know you don't want to hear it out there, folks, in football land, but if you check the postseason records, top quarterback ratings all time in the playoffs, minimum six games played, since he's 4-2 in the playoffs, Mark Sanchez is sixth all time in quarterback rating. Now, it might not mean much compared to a guy who played like 20-something playoff games,
right,
like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, but in the six games he played, he was truly highly efficient. He was a reason why they won. They didn't win despite him, like Trent Dilfer when he played for Baltimore. That's all I'm trying to say with that. Okay, so don't get all up in a fizzy and call me up and say, "Well, you compare." I don't care what you think. The guy played well in the playoffs, and he almost brought us back against Pittsburgh, down 24-3 at one point. If the Jets got to stop defensively, he probably would have won the game. What do I know? I know you don't know either out there.
That was a tale of two halves.
But in 2011, they start out 8-5. Now, not the greatest start, but they had a couple of really big wins down in D.C.
Yeah.
They get to 8-5. They got three games left against the Eagles, the Giants, and the Dolphins. They got to win one game to make the playoffs. At the time they were 8-5, Sanchez had 21 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions. That's respectable. I don't care how you want to sell it to me. It's respectable. Did he fail down the stretch? Sure, just like his team. Against the Eagles, they got blown out. And Santonio Holmes started to show you his selfish ways, which really reared its ugly head against the Dolphins the last game of the year. Everyone knows about his antics. And more importantly, if you wanted to pick a moment in time that we maybe have mentioned, but I'll pick it right now, Christmas Eve against the Giants, 2011. And the Jets held Eli Manning, a two-time Super Bowl MVP, of which he garnered one of those that particular season, to 9 out of 27 passing for the day. He did nothing except he completed three passes. One of them happened to be a 99-yard slant to Victor Cruz, which emphatically ended the reign of Rex Ryan, because it's more important for Woody Johnson and Tannenbaum to put on a circus show in terms of making money and selling PSLs, which they started the next year with the Tim Tebow experiment, which they didn't even let that guy play. That 99-yard slant will haunt me for the rest of my life. That Giant team, Johnny, they were the only team to win a Super Bowl that as a team gave up more points defensively than they scored offensively. And they had the worst running game in the league. And they went from that point,
turning point,
and rolled it.
Turning point of that season.
And rolled over everybody in the playoffs and beat the Patriots again. And he beat Tom Brady again. And Eli won a second MVP. And the Giants won a second Super Bowl in the last seven years.
Right.
Are you kidding me? That's what I deserve in life, apparently, because that's what God has shown me over the last few years.
That's why no Giant fan could ever complain about their season.
I would never let them complain to me.
The last 7 years, they've won two Super Bowls. You cannot complain. You cannot complain. So, here we go. You're exactly right. If it wasn't for that slant pass, that 99-yard touchdown by Sanchez doing the salsa dance in the end zone, it could have went the other way. And it could have been us going to the Super Bowl.
Who knows?
Maybe the Jets would have turned it around. The Giants definitely wouldn't have made the playoffs. Because they were, right? If they would have lost that game.
No, they wouldn't have made it. No way.
No way.
Done.
But now, talking this year, and then last year with the Snoopy Bowl, there's something going on with Rex Ryan has to have this. It was more important to have this win in preseason with the Giants and put Mark Sanchez, your starting quarterback, in the fourth quarter with your second or third string offensive line out there.
Third string. This is the fourth quarter.
Blew his shoulder
out.
He's your starting. I want to see Aaron Rodgers go in there in the fourth quarter with the third string offensive line. I want to see Peyton Manning go in there. Tom Brady go in there. But he puts Mark Sanchez in there, blows his shoulder out, and is basically his career as a New York Jet is over.
Well, he was denied his fifth and final year of his contract to show that he could make the progress he needed to make. I mean, he already proved himself in the playoffs. And you couldn't have the human decency or loyalty to give him that last shot at starting the final year of his contract. No. Just bring in a veteran. That's what brings me to John Idzik. That guy came in here, Idzik, got a job, a prime opportunity to take over for a buffoon, because that's what Tannenbaum was.
Yeah.
Accountant degree and helping Bill Parcells with the salary cap and all that back in the day, fine.
Not a great football guy.
Not a great football guy. This guy gets a chance to come in and fix things right away. And all he had to do in a draft where it was offensive and defensive linemen dominant, in a draft such as that, and he got Richardson in the first round, which was a good pick. It was a great pick where he was ranked and where they picked him. But that first pick, I'll never forget. I'm saying, hey, Alabama, offensive line, Chance Warmack, DJ Fluka. We got to get one of these guys. Now, folks out there, you can say, well, you're acting hindsight. Fine. Say what you want. Forget about, you know, if the Jets made a pick at 9 in the 2012 draft, and then these guys were drafted 8, 9, 10 spots later at the end of the first round, fine. Maybe I'll say, okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know where they belong. Those guys were drafted. Those two offensive linemen from Alabama. Not only did the Jets pass on both of them, and took an injured prospect coming out of college, Dee Milner.
Milner was injured.
Not that he really ever helped their defensive backfield anyway, as you're watching.
Coming out of Alabama, it's like a pro program.
But not only did they take the D-back, which they shouldn't have done in that spot, and pass on two offensive linemen, the next two picks, the Titans and the Chargers, the next two picks in the draft were those two offensive linemen. And I'm telling you right now, I guess I could have been the GM. Because nobody had it. Even do much research to know that that was the pick there. And the point of it is, the Jets needed to build their offensive line and their defensive line, which they've done for the most part. They got two big-time players, hopefully going forward with Wilkerson and Richardson. But that was a big spot for offensive linemen right there in the first round, and maybe even again in the second round. They had a lot of offensive linemen. And the Jets took a quarterback. And let me tell you something, regardless of what these teams are doing right now, in that draft, no respected football team took a quarterback before the fourth round. I don't know what other teams took, but I remember the Giants took a quarterback in the fourth round. The only teams to take a quarterback in one of the first three rounds in 2012 were the Buffalo Bills in the first round with E.J. Manuel, right?
Yeah, the first quarterback taken.
They haven't been to the playoffs since 1990s. First 99 maybe is the last time they made it?
Right.
The Bills are a joke. And I don't care what their record is. They ain't making the playoffs. See, guys can
Kyle Orton
and tell me how well they're playing. All you want, last second touchdown to win the game. I really don't care. They're not making the playoffs. The second team to do it, obviously, was the Jets in the second round.
Right.
Big mistake in my book.
Big.
And the only other team was the third round. The Buccaneers took quarterback with Mike Glennon. And they probably shouldn't have, but at least the third round, I could live with that.
Yeah.
How well are the Buccaneers doing these days?
They're 1-7. They have their own problems down there.
All right. So this is what I'm talking about. And then the Giants in the fourth round take a guy out of Syracuse, Ryan Nassib, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And he's probably just as good as Geno Smith. I think he beat him in the ball game you referenced that year.
Right.
At the Yankee Stadium.
Yep. All right.
You can't make this up. And Izzy failed that draft. This year's draft, I thought he did a decent job, although they had to cut some guys and... You know, we nicknamed him the Hawk way too soon, but, you know, he got hurt. You know, we should have known better with Calvin Pryor. I got to be honest with you, John. As soon as I saw training camp starts, and this guy bumps into his own teammate on a kick coverage in a practice, these guys hardly even hit in practice, and gives himself a concussion.
No, well,
people are going to make fun of Sanchez for the butt fumble? Man, you couldn't have. This has been one circus act
ESPN made
after
a mock
another.
For a long time.
One circus act. When Calvin Pryor bumped into his own teammate in practice on a kick return coverage. Are you kidding me? And he had a concussion, had to miss time. I should have known.
That we were in trouble.
That we weren't getting what we were hoping in terms of
the whole. First year he's injured. I mean, you got to give the guy a pass this year.
I ain't giving anybody
this
a pass.
Team
you know who gets a pass? I get a pass. Because I've been sitting here watching this since 1976.
Okay.
I get a pass. You get a pass. They don't get any passes. Okay. None of these guys. And the only guys that I'm not aggravated with, per se, I think Chris Ivory. As durable as he's been, because he's an injury-prone guy they traded for.
But
he's remained fairly durable and a pretty decent performer for what this team is worth, which is very little. And I actually think Jason Morrow, in terms of the draft picks, I think he's done okay as a rookie tight end. I don't have a problem with him.
Christian,
on defense, I got a problem with everybody. They all stink. I don't care what anyone wants to tell me about that Jet defense. Today, more of the same. They come out. Kick off, and the Chiefs come right down the field and score a touchdown. And without getting into any more, because that is the Jets' defense all season. Without getting into any more about this game, let's say. Let me just say this, because I don't know when you picked this game up watching it. But the Jets were down 14-0. And they got the ball in the Chiefs' territory at the 39-yard line on a fourth down. down 14-0, and a 1-7 record. And you're telling me that you're not going for it there? That you're punting?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That sums up everything with the Jets. Discipline, stupidity, you name it. And that defense couldn't force a turnover if they needed it.
All year it's been like
this. Are you kidding me?
All year.
They can't do anything right. I've never seen other teams fumble so much and recover their own fumbles or fumble it out of bounds. Am I missing something? See?
Well, I'm going to tell you this.
Rex Ryan has never recovered from Christmas Eve. Never. They brought in Tim Tebow. Want to explain that one? I'll say this much. Sanchez had some real miserable games in 2012, and Tim Tebow never even got a chance. And John, if he's out of the NFL, whatever you want to think of Tebow, fine. Great college quarterback, Heisman, you name it, right? But John, Tim Tebow, when he was with Denver, at the very least, because his stats were horrible there too in the regular season, but at the very least, what quarter was he good in? What quarter did he play football in where he's magical?
Fourth.
Right? He pulled out his Bible, gave it a nice hug, gave the sign of the cross, and went out and won games. And you're like, how the hell did this guy win this game? And the Jets had several games, right? That Monday night against Tennessee, the game in Seattle, he destroyed at the half, right? They had many games where they could have made a change at the half or in the fourth quarter and had this guy come in and win a game, and he never even got a chance. You can't make this up. The guy never even got a chance at the time when that's the only success he's ever had in the pros. You got to be kidding me, right? I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, here's you know,
Rex Ryan. Are you kidding me?
It's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. Rex Ryan is a defensive guru. Right now, the Jets let up the most points in the whole NFL more than anybody. And this guy's a defensive guru. He is gone. Insick's got to go. Woody better get his smart hat on, get some smart people around him, and let's go. They need to get rid of the whole offensive line. Everybody's got to go. You got
to
start over.
He's an embarrassment to his father.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody. You know what? Call up if you don't like Buddy Ryan. 888-8811. Call up if you got something bad to say about one of the greatest defensive minds the NFL or any other league has ever seen.
That Bears defense.
He's embarrassing his father because he acts more like Ditka than like his father.
Well, I think
his father might have put a few bounties out there, but so did the Saints when they won their Super Bowl. And nobody killed them for that, right? Or they paid their price. Sean Payton sat out a year, whatever. Their defensive coach was out of football, whatever. Okay? But at least Buddy Ryan was a man. He was a sergeant in the military. If he didn't like somebody, he had his defense take care of it.
Yeah.
What does this guy do? My guys are good. They play hard. We're going to make some things happen. You make me sick, Rex. You can't act like Ditka and put on a wig and a dress and get in front of a camera unless you've won a Super Bowl like he did. And I got news for you. Mike Ditka, and I like him, great guy, great products, great commercials. Mike Ditka, as great as he was as a player and as a head coach, he would have never won that Super Bowl if it wasn't for Buddy Ryan.
No way.
Never.
No way.
And he didn't even want Buddy Ryan. And the only reason Buddy Ryan got to stick around is because his defensive players from a time before Ditka got his chance to coach, wrote a letter to George Halas begging them to keep him because he was great. How many coaches get that done for them? Let me see all the Jet players that are going to write a letter for Rex. Write a letter to the principal for Rex.
The worst defense in football.
Please excuse him for embarrassing his father and for wasting my time, ultimately, as a Jet fan. You got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I've seen him do. And all he's done is enable the media to do their job because he's so giving of his time and his act, right, which is wearing thin. How could it not wear thin on anybody? But his routine, and he's such a, put a mic in front of him. He'll give you whatever article you need, Mikey, right?
Let him do
what is it with this thing?
Let him do it at Sunday morning at 11 o'clock on Channel 2.
Is that why he gets a pass? Is that why the media doesn't want to flat out say he's earned the right to be fired? He deserves to be fired because he's so accommodating? Well, that's part of his problem. He never learned his lesson. He never shut his mouth and got back to winning. First 2 years, fine. You went to back-to-back title games. As soon as you blew it on Christmas Eve and finished 8-8 and embarrassed yourselves as a franchise, you should have shut your trap and got back to work. And you didn't do it. You did the same thing, put on a wig, make fun of your brother, make fun of Belichick, I won't kiss his rings, which was fine before you blew it, when you first took over. But then you always have a quib here and there about Belichick. Well, guess what? Belichick still has
7-2.
Three more Super Bowl wins than you.
And they're 7-2 in the division one of the best teams in the NFL. Just beat the Denver Broncos.
And he won the division every year you've been here. 2009,
he's
gonna
win 10, again this
year. 11, 12, 13. Yeah, and here it comes. 2014. And Belichick and Brady stick it to the AFC East, as usual. And Rex has more egg on his face than I can imagine. He has so much egg on his face, you can make omelets, Johnny, for the entire army since you were a short order cook back in your day serving the military.
No, hold on now. Hold on.
No, I know. You built bridges. You're a man of integrity and strength and honor.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Egg all over him. He's a joke, and he don't even realize it. He still has to shut up.
Here's the thing. When's the matter?
Go ahead. The floor
what do you do? Now. You let? Do you keep Rex around to the end of the year? I mean, what do we do? You bring somebody in? You should go out and get Mike Singletary now, or what? You want a guy like that? You need a guy that's going to put a boot
what about
in his
Bill Cowher? You really think he doesn't want to coach anymore?
I want him. I'd love to have
him. Go get him before the Giants get him.
Go get Mike Tomlin.
Because you know the Mariners want him as soon as Coughlin retires.
Yeah, you better.
So why not get him now?
Maybe he's waiting. Maybe.
Give him $20 million a year for all I care, Woody, since you got so much money. Since your stock is so high, $100 a share or whatever, give him $20 million a year to coach your team.
That's
you really want to show me you want to win football
games?
You've
got $21 million.
Do something with your life besides selling Q-tips. Come on.
Take that $21 million that we're under the cap.
Band-Aids and Q-tips. Give them out. Give them out at the lockers because I don't see the Jets beating up teams. That's for sure. I don't see them physically beating people up and intimidating them. Let me see them do something for real. Bring in Bill Cowher as your head coach. Go ahead.
You got to get a new GM in there too. What has Ed Sexton done? Jonathan's done nothing. He's done nothing.
He probably should have never been here.
He's a pencil pusher, just like
they should have hired Tom Gamble. Tom Gamble had an association with Buddy Ryan that went back years. Probably would have been a big fan of Rex when he came in and did whatever he needed to do. Whatever, fine. It's over. I don't care. I don't care.
Rex
the last,
lost
the last bit of a joke was you brought in for five. I mean, listen, I know you're $20 million under the cap and you don't want to spend it. Fine, but you brought in Michael Vick for $5 million a year. And you didn't give him a chance to be the starter. And nobody wants to take him to task every day on that? Because
no
it was painfully obvious in training camp with the reps in the preseason games. And you don't want to challenge him on that? He never got a chance. What the hell was he here for? I know he wasn't here to groom dogs. I know he didn't open a dog grooming service. And not that I wanted to root for Vic. I mean, I think that dog killing stuff is reprehensible. It's horrible.
Yeah. Well, he did his time.
But if the guy was, did his time. But if he's a better quarterback and you're supposed to be playing to win, why didn't you give him a chance to be the starter? He should have been the starter. Does that excuse him for not being prepared when he got a chance to play a couple weeks ago? No, it doesn't.
It's unexcusable.
But he should have been the starter, and you should have been playing to win.
But that goes back down to the quarterback coach, Rex Ryan.
They stink.
The offensive coordinator. These guys aren't. What's going on in the locker room? Like Gino missing. You're going to San Diego,
Marty Morning.
You're going out to a movie. You forget what time it is, and you miss the night before.
San Diego. How about that?
So you're in San Diego. You're going to a movie.
They beat
in San
the
Diego.
Jets. What? 31-0.
Yeah.
And then they barely beat the Raiders. Barely, right?
And they got blown out.
And they've lost the last three games. Today they're down in Miami, 37-0. Somebody call Dan Fouts and tell him, hey, we need you, buddy. Can you get Kellen Winslow to come back too? Because all of a sudden, within a month, the Chargers aren't as good as everyone thought they were going to be, right?
They look like a Super Bowl team.
What a joke.
Best team in the league
they
when they beat the Jets.
Too. They say the Dolphins 37-0. Dolphins ain't going anywhere. But I'll give Tannehill credit for responding.
Getting out there
throwing for 300, three touchdowns, whatever he did today. They look good. They look like a team that wants to compete.
They won three in a row.
Cow.
So when they went to New England and his job was on jeopardy, when they said we might be sitting Tannehill down,
come on,
the guy turned it around. They won three in a row. They blew Oakland out. They won three in a row. Where the Jets have lost eight in a row. And I don't have to tell this to everybody because everyone knows that it's a Jet fan.
They stink.
Eight games in a row. And how long does Rex is going to be here for us? Are they going to let him go? Are they going to let him go the rest of the year? What are you going to do? You're going to go to Pittsburgh now?
The Rams go to San Francisco with a quarterback I still don't know anything about. And they beat the Niners at the Niners. The Jets can't even win a home game. They stink. 1-8. First time since 2007. 1-8.
Horrible.
We're going to take a break, folks. And we're going to come back and get into a better topic.
We're going to do the
top all-time NFL players since the merger. Back after this.
Sports Talk 1340. Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you can find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA, or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, ride share, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Hey guys, we're back. We're going to go into our top 10 defense of 1970 and above, going from 70s to
present.
Do
the defense first?
And top 10 offense, and then we're going to combine it to one list of top 10 lists.
Yeah, what we really need is we need a top 10 regardless of position of all time. So if you want to partake, you want to get on Twitter, you want to get on Facebook, voice your opinion, you want to call up and voice your opinion, that's fine. We got a half hour before we get to hockey, so we're going to cover as much as we can. Maybe the whole thing. Maybe it'll be that easy.
Yeah, right.
But we're going to lay the groundwork. And if we have to come back, you know, after the break, we're going to have Rick Carpinello from the Journal News talk a little Rangers hockey at 9 o'clock. If we have to come back to it after the interview, a little hockey talk, we'll do that too. But you want to start with defense first, Johnny Boy?
I guess we'll go defense. And I guess, like I said, no giant. The only giant on the list.
There's a giant on the list.
There's a giant list, and he's a giant. He's Lawrence Taylor. I still remember Lawrence Taylor when he broke Joe Theismann's leg. I still remember that right in my head. I mean, this guy was an incredible football player. He changed the whole dimension of the linebacker position for the outside linebacker. He's a maniac. Lawrence Taylor is by far the number one best defensive player on my list.
Well, I mean, Lawrence Taylor. I'll always say, listen, there's two players I've seen. I'm wearing the jersey of one of them. The two greatest players I've ever seen, Walter Payton and Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor, 8 times a first-team All-Pro. He won Defensive Player of the Year 4 times. He won an NFL MVP, which is extremely hard for a defensive player.
Extremely.
In 1986, the year the Giants won the Super Bowl. And without question, a first-team All-Decade for the 1980s guy. He was an intimidating force, the first of his kind. He would hunt people down from behind.
Yeah. He changed the whole...
He would identify his prey and just hunt them down and destroy them. He was great.
He made Belichick and Parcells champions, what he did.
Belichick invented...
Yes.
...a hybrid linebacker, the way they talk about hybrid tight ends.
That's what he did. He changed
the... He gave you the prototype, a 6'4", 240-pound linebacker that could run, make tackles, and be a pass rusher. 132 sacks, once they started keeping count? I mean, this guy.
He was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year 3 times. He's incredible.
Well.
The AP NFL Defensive Player of the Year 3 times. He was the league. Was
80,
the AP
he won in 82,
NFL,
and then he did it again. Oh, you know what it was? I said 4 by accident. He won his first year. This is how much Ronnie Lott, who's another great guy, suffered. They came into the league in the same draft. The Jets actually in 81 drafted Free McNeil before the Giants.
Got
Lawrence Taylor. Or did Lawrence Taylor go first?
He was the second pick.
Jets pick after?
No, LT was the second pick in the first round.
And then the Jets took Free McNeil after that.
Right,
that's
what
it was. And Lott went later in the first round. And Ronnie Lott came in and had a monster of a rookie year. Lawrence Taylor was so great, he took home everything. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, 1981.
He's a giant.
And his career was off like lightning, baby.
It was incredible. He was the guy's insane. I mean, everybody knows.
So we know he's made
in the tri-state area knows about him and football. He's fantastic. He's on the list number one on defense.
As a football fan, you couldn't ask for a more dominant player on your defense, the team you love, right?
Who do you have now? We got Taylor off the list. I mean, I have my list. Well, Derek has his list
for defensive players. Let me give you the guys I got.
We're only going defense right now.
All right. So I got two other linebackers. So why don't we talk about them? The first guy I have. And he was great, same era, was Samurai Mike Singletary of the Chicago Bears. And Singletary, I'll tell you what, Taylor was a monster. Singletary, not very big. Not very big at all. He may have been like 5'10". But a guy in college, he broke face mask after face mask. They list him at 6 feet. I'm telling you, he wasn't no 6 feet. He was maybe 5'11". Weighed 225, 230, but a 7-time first-team All-Pro. 7 times first-team All-Pro at linebacker. And he was your little different than Taylor because he was your stereotype, stayed-home, sideline-to-sideline linebacker, just knocking the crap out of everybody in his path. And he won Defensive Player of the Year twice. 1985, 1988. And he also, in the 80s, all-decade team for the 80s, first team. So, I Singletary's right there, probably overshadowed by Taylor's greatness, but Mike Singletary, one of the greatest linebackers of all time. And since the merger, I put him right there behind Lawrence Taylor, easily. The only other linebacker I put on this list.
I don't have Singletary on my list because I have Ray Lewis.
Okay. Well, I do have Ray Lewis. Now, Ray Lewis also, like Mike Singletary, 7 times first-team All-Pro, and he had a Super Bowl MVP, obviously. Remember when they beat the Giants?
Yeah.
Defensive Player of the Year in 2000 and 2003. And like those guys, very similar, but different decade, the 2000s, first-team, all-decade team.
He was incredible.
So very similar accomplishments by all three. Taylor won. One more Super Bowl. He won 2. These guys each won one.
And he walked away with his last Super Bowl, right? Didn't Ray?
Ray Rice?
No, Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis? Yes, he was. He had 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah, he had 2.
I don't know how much of a fact he was in that one, but yeah, he was there.
Well, he played. He had the brace around his arm. Remember, he was sticking his arm out, hitting, doing what he's doing.
Right.
He had 2 Super Bowls. We beat the Giants.
That's right, because he retired. He did a bit of a John Elway. Won his last year.
Yeah, but still, for a linebacker, it's taking hits like he's
right,
taking.
I'm just saying, his last year, what did he play, like 6 games?
No, the third.
He wasn't a big factor in that
season. All right, so we're going to put Lewis on the top 10.
Ray Lewis made my top 10. I put 3 linebackers on my top 10 defensive players, and Ray Lewis was there at linebacker with Lawrence Taylor and Mike Singletary. Two guys I left off, and I'll tell you why.
Jack Lambert
and Jack Ham.
I have him on my list.
Because they kind of eliminate people. That defense was so goddamn dominant. I don't know if I could put any guy ahead of those three. They were both great. I mean, I think they were both 6-time first-team All-Pro. I can check it. Jack Lambert was 6 times first-team All-Pro. 4-time Super Bowl winner. He won a Defensive Rookie of the Year. He was Defensive Player of the Year once. But he was, for his decade of the 70s and the 80s, he was only a second teamer. Wasn't a first teamer. So I kind of feel that evidence-wise, I'm using that against him. Jack Ham probably did better. Jack Ham was much better in pass defense. Jack Lambert was a killer. Run defense, sideline to sideline, a killer.
But Ham was very good. I mean, extremely good from a past defense and playing the linebacker position in general. Six times first team All Pro for Jack Ham. Never won Defensive Player of the Year or Rookie of the Year or anything like that. But he was for the 70s first team. So where he gets a higher mark there than Jack Lambert,
yeah.
He was never a Defensive Player of the Year. So, I mean, you're looking at, you know, Ray Lewis, Mike Singletary, and Taylor, multiple Defensive Player of the Year awards, in addition to their dominance and their teams winning Super Bowls, too.
Now, right. I know
Pittsburgh won four, but they also had like 9, 10, 11 Hall of Famers on that team. So I'm not dismissing what they did,
right.
But we're looking at individual players here. So I don't know. I mean, when I look at the Bears, Mike Singletary was the nucleus of what they built.
Defensive team ever, I think.
Right, for one year.
For 1 year.
Now, the Steel Curtain might be the greatest of all time.
Right.
But the Steel Curtain was about the defensive line, not about the linebackers.
They won two, took 1 year off, and then won two again, right?
It took 2 years off.
Yeah.
And in between there, the Raiders won one, and so did the Cowboys. And then they won two more at the end. They beat the Cowboys and the Rams.
Still a great.
And it's not that I'm ignoring Pittsburgh, because there are a couple of Steelers on my list. But the first one overshadowed those two, and that's Mean Joe Green.
Because Bradshaw really didn't even throw for a lot of yards.
Listen,
we
are not talking about Terry Bradshaw.
No, I'm just saying, but their defense.
He was a playoff monster for them, but he's not.
But they ran the ball, and their defense stopped people.
They could run the ball. They had Franco Harris, Rocky Blount.
But it was mostly stopping people with the defense.
Right, well, but defensively, I'm giving. Not that I'm looking to give more credit to anybody.
Right.
But in terms of
more Buddy Ryan fans.
Well, no, listen. I think Mike Singletary is a better linebacker than those guys.
I would love to have him as a head coach. Just
I know he's better than them.
Yeah,
he was. Okay, they didn't have a nickname for the Bears' offense defensive line. It's called the defense, the Black and Blue Brothers or whatever. Okay, but the Steel Curtain, the defensive line, to me, it's about me and Joe Green. Now Green made the list for me.
He didn't make it for me
on defensive line. Five times first team All Pro. The four Super Bowl titles you talked about, Defensive Rookie of the Year, 69, 1972 AP Defensive Player of the Year, 1974 AP Defensive Player of the Year. So that's two. He matches up with the linebackers we spoke about, right?
Yeah.
With Lewis and Singletary and Taylor. And in the 70s, first team, obviously, all-decade team. And he's got his four Super Bowls. So that's why I kind of lean towards Mean Joe. And his dominance a little more than the linebackers there, a little more individual accomplishment. So I put him on my list. Now, you don't have to have anybody on your list of 10 because we're only taking 10 total from offense and defense. But that's
right.
That was my logic in giving a spot to Joe Green and the linebackers I picked. You have anything you want to say?
No, I don't want my list because I had other guys on there. But
well, we're gonna go over your guys. Did you have any other linebackers, though, before I go?
All I had was Lambert.
Okay.
Lewis and Taylor.
All right, so we touched on Lambert, though we said what he did.
Yeah.
And his one negative compared to them was he was second teamer for the.
No, I have no problem with Mike Singletary. I mean,
right.
I
mean, he was.
I love the guy.
Singletary was great.
He's fantastic.
And he was decent against the pass, but I mean, that guy lit people up.
I mean,
he broke face masks constantly. He was such a hard hitter for a guy below.
Very intense guy, always involved.
Oh, my God. He's a killer.
But Lambert, like I said, the reason why I gave him the edge was the Super Bowls, but.
I understand that. That's fine.
We'll go. So far, we'll just because I want to
so
compile one
Joe
list.
Joe Green wasn't on your list, though, right?
No.
All right, he was on my list. I gave you the reasons: the Defensive Player of the Year twice,
right?
First team All Decade is five times All Pro. Give me one of your defensive linemen. Let's do the defensive linemen now.
Okay, I got. Bruce.
Just give me one. Okay, Bruce Smith is on my list.
Yes.
Now, Bruce Smith. You want to hear some staggering stats, despite not winning the Super Bowl?
Well, I can tell you one.
Went to four, didn't win any, but eight times, like Lawrence Taylor, first team All-Pro, eight times. Bruce Smith was the Defensive Player of the Year in 1990 and 1996. First team All-Decade, 1990s. Second team All-Decade for the 80s, and he came in at the end of the decade. But he was that dominant from the get-go.
He's incredible.
Eight times first team
All-Pro. And I think he's the all-time, he has 200 sacks. He's the all-time sack leader out of anybody right now.
I don't know if anybody has more, but he certainly was the first one to 200, I thought.
Yeah. I think he's
I mean, this guy, he was a monster. He crucified the Jets when I was
100%.
Watching back in the early 90s.
100%.
And just a dominant pass rusher. I mean, how do you game plan for guys like that?
You can't.
So
he's freaking nature.
We both agreed on Bruce Smith. You got another guy on there? Another defensive lineman?
Okay, Reggie White.
Reggie White.
Is he on your list?
Reggie White is without question.
On your list.
Now, Reggie White, I got to be honest, I almost look at him not quite like Taylor, but I almost could bet the house that he's going to make the top 10 of all time.
Well, Reggie played
Let
with
me say
Kelly.
This much about Reggie White. Eight times, like Taylor and Bruce Smith, eight times first team All-Pro. He finished with 198 sacks, two behind your boy, Bruce Smith. He was Defensive Player of the Year 1987 and 1998, 11 years
wow.
apart.
It's incredible.
Talk about longevity in terms of performance, consistency. All-decade, first team on the all-decade team for two different decades, the 1980s and the 1990s. What do you think about that?
It's insane.
That's very hard to do. And that's the essence of Reggie White. And he won a Super Bowl, obviously, with the Packers. Was a big part of that season, right, 1996?
Yeah. And then he was on when – didn't Philly go to the Super Bowl? But they lost that year.
He wasn't on Philly when they went to – he was too young. Because he played in the USFL when he first got out of college. You know, he didn't go to a big-time college, I don't think.
Yeah, another guy there, but the guy died.
He went to Howard University. Oh, that's in high school. He went to Tennessee. That's right. He went to the same college as Bernard King. Went to Tennessee, but he went to the USFL at first. He played for Memphis, I think. And then he was drafted by the Eagles, went to USFL for a little bit, you know, and then he came in, and right away from the first year, 1985, 13 sacks right away. 18, 21, 18.
Insane.
I mean, 1987, he would have been the legit guy to break Gastineau's sack record in 1987. Yeah. He had 21 sacks in 12 games. Why, John? Because there was a strike in 1987. So he missed four games because of that. But in 12 games, he had 21 sacks. Talk about flat out. I mean, how many sacks do you think he would have had in four other games? Four?
Yeah.
That still would give him 25.
Yeah.
And the record,
all time,
right?
Yeah.
That's how great the guy was.
The real record.
He was a killer. And Buddy Ryan loved scheming around him.
Guy was 6'5". He's insane, this guy.
Now, did you have any other defensive linemen?
I have no.
Okay, I had another guy. And this guy is a Dallas Cowboy legend. And that's Randy White.
Oh, I looked up
Randy. Randy White was a seven-time first-team All-Pro. Played his entire career in Dallas. He won a Super Bowl MVP in 1977. And for the 80s, first-team, all-decade team. I'll tell you what, seven times first-team All-Pro. And this guy played defensive tackle, man. He was down in there. He wasn't some
stopping
defensive
the run.
End. He wasn't just out there to chase the quarterback and knock him down. He was in the trenches, crushing running backs, getting into it with offensive linemen. I mean, talk about like a nonstop motor. Randy White went to Maryland. He was a dominant motor.
Yeah.
Constant. First-round pick of the Cowboys back in 75.
Beast.
Super Bowl MVP for a defender. Not easy. Ray Lewis did it, right?
That's right.
Not too many guys were able to do it.
Taylor did it too, I think, right?
Taylor did not. Phil Sims had the day of his life, remember?
Right. Yes, that's right.
And the other one, wasn't it O.J. Anderson for the Giants?
Yes.
The running
back?
Yes, it was.
So
that was. I had three linebackers. Those were the four defensive linemen I had. Mean Joe Green, Bruce Smith, Randy White, Reggie White. Now, how many do you have so far checked off that we went over? I have seven. How many guys have you gone over?
Well, all right, so, no, I was trying to eliminate.
Do you have any other defensive linemen?
No.
And no other linebackers? Well, then why don't you start us on the defensive backs? Who do you got?
I have Deion.
Deion Sanders. Why are you saying it like it's a pro?
No, I mean, Deion's a Deion. I mean, Deion's got to be on a list.
Right.
I'm trying to compile one list.
Which I agree with.
Yeah.
I have Deion Sanders on my list. And Deion Sanders, for yous out there that want to say, oh, he didn't hit enough. Well, guess what?
That was the only thing. Deion didn't make a lot of tackles.
He made enough.
But
six times.
But he played both ways.
Six times first team All-Pro.
Yeah.
Six times.
He had the best plays I've ever seen play.
Six times first team All-Pro. He was Defensive Player of the Year in 1994. For the decade of the 90s, he is first team All-Decade. Good enough?
Great enough.
Two-time Super Bowl winner, once with the Niners, once with the Cowboys. How about that?
Two teams. Incredible.
The man had 53 interceptions. Of those, he brought back 9 for touchdowns. In addition to that, he had a fumble return for a touchdown. That's 10 touchdowns.
How many kickoff returns?
He had 6 punt returns for touchdowns and 3 kick returns for touchdowns. That's another 9.
Yeah.
That's 19. He also had one other touchdown, and no, he had 3 more. 3 receiving touchdowns. So the man had 22 touchdowns in his career. Talk about versatility, all-purpose yardage with the kickoff and punt returns, right? We talked to Bruce Harper about that last time we were on.
Yeah.
The man could do it all, and he was the ultimate playmaker. Showtime, Neon Deion. And nowadays, he's Leon Sandcastle.
Now, check this out. When Deion, I heard a story. When Deion Sanders, they said when he was at the combines for the rookies, they said, you're going to run. He says, okay. He just walks up
right
in the 40-yard dash, and he runs a 4.27. It's insane.
Right.
It's insane. And he wasn't even, like, stretching out or anything. He just went up like it's a freak of nature, natural athlete. Beautiful. Plus, he played baseball. I mean, the guy's definitely a gifted athlete.
He's tremendous.
He's definitely on the list.
He's an all-around great athlete.
Yeah, definitely on the list.
Okay, so now you want to give me another defensive back you got?
I have Ronnie Lott.
Let's save him for last.
Want to save him for last?
Yeah, I want to show him a little respect because he kind of got overshadowed by Lawrence Taylor from the day they came in together. You have another D-back?
I had Mel Blount on my list.
Really? Mel Blount?
Yeah.
Well, let's check it out. Let's see if you're accurate with that.
Let's check go back.
It seems like you're showing a little too much love to Pittsburgh, possibly. But let's go back to Mel Blount.
Yeah.
Mel Blount was a first-team All-Pro twice. Not very great. He was a Defensive Player of the Year, though.
Very
in 1975.
Hard to
That's
come
pretty
by.
Good. And he was first-team, according to the Hall of Fame, first team all decade in the 80s, defensive back. But only twice was he first team all pro. One of those years was when he won the defensive player. So we had a big monster year in 75. And listen, the Steelers were killing everybody.
Oh, they were beating everybody.
Steel Curtain was crushing all. I'm going to give you another
75,
guy.
75, he had 11 picks.
I'm going to give you another guy that I put on my list. I didn't put Mel Blount there. I put this guy there. And he also played for Pittsburgh. And that was Rod Woodson.
I have him on mine.
Rod Woodson was a 6-time first-team All-Pro.
He's on mine, yes.
And Rod Woodson was a Defensive Player of the Year in 1993 and a first-team All-Decade guy for the 90s. And Rod Woodson, punt returner, kickoff return, a couple touchdowns, two each, punts and kickoff returns. But 71 interceptions, led the league twice. He had 12 interception touchdowns.
71 is very impressive.
12 returns for touchdowns. And he had a fumble return for touchdown, too. So he also had, 17 touchdowns in his career. It's pretty good. I don't remember Mel Blount maybe as vividly as you do, but Woodson I remember, and he was great. Great safety. Great defensive back.
Well, Woodson, yeah.
And he didn't get a Super Bowl with Pittsburgh, but he did get one with Baltimore.
Yes, he did.
In 2000. So he is a Super Bowl champ also. So I had him. You had Mel Blount, which is fine. We can give that out to the fans. Because what we're probably going to do, since we're going to get to 9 o'clock almost soon. So what we're going to do, we covered all the defenders. We're going to give out all the names.
What about Lott?
Oh, how could, listen. Lott's I am ashamed of myself right here.
You should hold on to the end.
You're right. That's why I'm ashamed of myself. See, I didn't want to give them back-to-back. I want to show these guys proper love. Now, Lawrence Taylor, one of the greatest two football players I ever saw. However, he was drafted the same year as the last guy on my list, who would have been right at the end. I probably would have put him right up there with Singletary and Lawrence Taylor. But Ronnie Lott, if I had to pick one D-back that was more intimidating than any I ever saw and played the game like a linebacker, what did you, cut off his finger one game to keep playing?
Yes, sir.
Talk about toughness. I don't need no drugs to keep me going. Just cut the tip off and let me knock the crap out of somebody. 6 times first team all pro. Ronnie Lott. First team all decade, 1980s. Second team all decade team for the 90s in the NFL. Now, he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year, but I can assure you this, folks. Ronnie Lott, in his first year in football, had 7 interceptions, and 3 of them returned for touchdowns. He had a ton of tackles. He was as big a force as anyone that came into the league that first year. And the only thing that overshadowed him was the presence of Lawrence Taylor, who's going to be in the top 10 of all time. Ronnie Lott would have been a Defensive Rookie of the Year and a Defensive Player of the Year. He was denied it. Why? because he had somebody better than him in front. Reminds me of the NHL with Brad Park,
right,
who should have been a Norris Trophy winner defensively, and Bobby Orr was around, and Bobby Orr won the Defensive Player of the Year for the NHL every year because he was just that good. And that's kind of what Ronnie Lott encountered. And Ronnie Lott, I mean, I would probably argue him as the best defensive back I've ever seen. The best all around? I mean, he finished his career with 63 interceptions, 5 for touchdowns.
Right, and 730 yards, right? He had 730 yards on that, on those 63
in
picks.
In return yards, yeah.
Yes, in just in the season.
And I was wrong. There actually is somebody that played for the Jets on my list.
Yes, there is.
Because Ronnie Lott did play for the Jets.
Right, he sure did. From 93 to 94.
Oh, my God. I loved him, too, but I guess I forgot about that because Boomer Esiason was busy making my life miserable by blowing December games and keeping me from the playoffs. Not once, but twice. Both years, Ronnie Lott was there. So we got all those defenders in. You have any other defenders you want to throw out there for the fans before we go over them all?
I guess we got all our 10 right now.
I mean, we like these guys, right?
Yeah.
We're probably going to have to come back after the hockey talk, go back to offense, and then we might have to finish this whole debate. Maybe we'll give the fans time to respond on Twitter and respond on Facebook. We'll give it time. Maybe we'll circulate it out there during the week, and we'll get some ideas thrown back on Facebook, and then we'll take vote. Maybe we'll take votes. We'll figure it out. But let me give out the 10 names I have again, and you add the names in if I forget any that we should have, all right?
Good.
Okay, so, folks, we're going top 10 all-time football players since the merger, regardless of position.
Defense.
The defensive crew that you could select from, and you could add somebody on Facebook if you think we missed somebody.
Or tweet us.
Yeah, one or the other. But these are the top 10 as we see it, and a few names my partner Johnny Boy has, he'll give them. But we have Lawrence Taylor, linebacker for the Giants. Mike Singletary, linebacker for the Bears. Ray Lewis, linebacker for the Ravens. Mean Joe Green, defensive lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bruce Smith, defensive line, Buffalo Bills. Randy White, defensive line for the Dallas Cowboys. Reggie White, defensive lineman, most notably for the Eagles and the Packers. Ronnie Lott, defensive back for the San Fran 49ers.
Oh, New York Jets.
Deion Sanders, who was in a number of places, most notably one in San Francisco and played for Dallas, along with Atlanta, his first stop. Deion Sanders, another D-back. And the last D-back we had was Rod Woodson, defensive back for Pittsburgh most of his career, won a Super Bowl with Baltimore. The other names we will give you, if you really want to try and sell us that they belong in that, I don't think they would make the top 10 of all time regardless. But Jack Lambert, yes. And Jack Ham would be on the list.
Yeah.
And should we give them John Randall, just to consider John Randall? Another defensive
line? I like Randall, but I don't think Randall... You could throw him out there. Let's go. And they can.
I'm going to put John Randall on there, even though we didn't talk about him, and we got to get to the end of this first hour.
Well, they could tweet it.
But I will say this much about John Randall, because he didn't win any titles. But 6 times first team All-Pro for the Minnesota Vikings, played for Seattle too. And he is, in the 1990s, first team All-Decade. So John Randall is the kind of name we're looking for. He's a Hall of Famer. If you want to find someone like that and try and sell us on that kind of player as opposed to what we got, I think we pretty much grabbed the best defenders since the merger. We get back to it later in the show after the 9:30 break.
Go.
Possibly we'll go to offense.
Tweet us at Sports Talk 1240 AM or hit us up on Facebook at Sports Talk 1240.
All right, folks. So you got a second dose of Sweeney and the Waz coming in the second hour, 9 o'clock, top of the hour after the break. We got Rick Carpinello from Rangers Report. We're going to talk Rangers hockey. A lot of injuries on defense. We're going to get it all from Rick. He covers it all. Has been since the 70s. We're back after this with the second hour.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.